The bromance became a nomance, but not without a rock star encore. With all the power-ups still in play, who will be the next target? We'll soon find out. Plus, from Big Brother 6 and 7, James Ryan is here. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Big Brother After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my god.
Oh, your moves are on point tonight.
Well, I gotta be ready for later.
For the yes, Rockstar!
You guys were probably too young for this song, sorry.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Good evening, guys. I am Bryce McClay. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Big Brother After Show. We have a very special show ahead of us, but I wanna start by introducing my passionate panel of co-hosts here.
Ooh,
yeah. Morgan Ouellette, starting off.
I am so passionate. Thank you for calling me out on that.
You're very passionate.
Love some Big Brother. We have so much to talk about. I laugh thinking about Caitlin. I'm sorry, but we'll talk all about it.
Yes. Are you about to get a hit?
Oh, I'm getting a hit. Next to me is
Jessica Williams. Oh my God, you were so right. What's up, guys? What's up? And who's here?
Oh, over here. I'm getting a hit that my name is Charles Connolly, and I'm so excited to talk about this episode because it's, like, I think one of my favorites of the season.
I see it. I see that vision. Yes.
And from Big Brother 6 and Big Brother All-Stars, the Veto King himself, the legendary James Ryan, is here with us via Skype.
Hey, James.
Welcome, James.
What an intro. Hello.
Thank you for being with us.
I don't know about legendary, but I appreciate that.
I think you are. I think you're in that category. Your beard is legendary, certainly.
What?
Yeah, Bryce had a beard that looked like that last week.
I just shaved mine, so anyways.
The gray hair. Yeah. The gray hair has been pretty legendary.
You're right in line with Brett. He thought that he can get the power app from his beard.
Yeah. Okay, guys, before we start, just once again, we are covering tonight's episode, so if you are on the West Coast, please leave and don't come back until it's over, I guess.
But come back eventually.
I mean, do come back, because we
like in an hour.
We like to hear. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
please.
All right, so later in the show, we're going to be breaking down what host Julie Chen said in our first Chen Chatter of the season. You don't want to miss it. So, but without further ado, let's get to this. All right, James.
Yes.
All right. I want to hear your overall thoughts of the season. What did you think before we get into everything that's happened? What did you think at the beginning with the cast?
Okay. After watching the first episode. Because I don't watch the beginning interviews or anything, because to me they're all kind of like contrived, and I don't know, I just kind of lost favor with that whole aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But first show, I was hooked. It was one of those things where, like, shit, we might have a season that's reminiscent of, like, the older Big Brother. And a lot of times the newer seasons I kind of get turned off from, especially like 19 I thought was trash.
Yes.
I think 18 was the first season I ever turned off in the middle because I just didn't want to watch it anymore. And it's like there are people in the house that want to play. You have a unique cast. There's plenty of dichotomy with all the cast members. The season, it looks like it's going to be split in two with, you know, maybe one or two people going back and forth. It reminded me a lot. Well, now currently it reminds me a lot of season 6. This whole little... like Winston going home instead of Brett was just classic. It was like great Big Brother. Yes. Swaggy getting blindsided like that. These two, and I hate referring back to my seasons because every house guest, all they want to do is talk about their past seasons. But like Swaggy's blindside to me was when Sarah and I got put up by Howie because he had no clue. And when you're on the receiving end of that, there's not a worse feeling that you can have in that house because you know you have no friends. And it's funny that you make it through that week. But it was – and then this one was like when we flipped on the Eric and Maggie alliance and Janelle picked me for veto instead of someone else for the chess veto comp. I like the realness when people don't know what's happening.
Well, yeah, definitely. But it's funny that you bring up season 6 because you said in your intro video that you said girls are a lot more sneakier than guys. They're better liars. Do you still believe that's true in this game? And who's the best liar in this game right now?
Ooh.
Yeah. There's a lot of liars in the house right now. I haven't been watching the feed, so I couldn't give, I guess, the correct answer. Actually, Caitlin's probably the biggest liar because she's lying to herself. Goes through
that
her head.
Epic. Yeah.
I'm hoping she goes home before sequester. I know it'd be better TV to keep her on as long as possible, but I want her to have some time to be able to detox. I want there to be other people making asses of themselves after she leaves, so she's not overwhelmed with all that at the end, because I don't know if it's something that she'll handle too well. And that's just me speaking as a person that's been through the show. But yeah, that girl's in for a rude awakening.
What do you think about the saga that's going on outside the house with her? I mean,
it's, once again, the Caitlyn saga, it's great television. It makes for great conversations on social media platforms and wonderful shows like this. But literally, that's a real life that this person is going to have to now reconcile with her boyfriend, his family, her family, their friends, combined friends. I don't know their history, like if they've been together for, you know, a decade or 30 minutes. But it's one of those things that there's real life consequences to her actions that are now amplified, where the show is so inundated with social media being such a heavy component of it. So as much as I enjoy making fun of her, but also understand, for me, it's easy to shut off. Like if she were to come out of the house and I were to meet her, it would be like, let's sit down and talk about how you can detoxify yourself from the show. It wouldn't be like, oh, you fucking moron, can't believe you did that to your boyfriend. Because to me, once you're out of the house, you're part of our family. You're part of our family now, but you're also subjected to, you know, all the ridicule and the fun. But once it's over, you're part of the family, and we should be helping you, unless you're just a despicable person like a few of them. But I don't know. I feel really bad for what she's going to deal with, because it's going to be life-altering when she gets out of the house.
Mm-hmm. James, I have a question, and I don't know if you might have any insight on this, but do you think production will eventually tell her about her boyfriend pulling the release?
I don't know. Production will give you information when it benefits them, not when it benefits you. I have a feeling that when she's evicted, you know, there are some people in there with really good hearts, like Sean and Robin, and there are people that would sit her down afterwards and be like, yo, before you make that phone call, especially if she's going to sequester, you know, you get that one phone call, this is why it might not be a good idea to want to call whatever your boyfriend's name is.
Joe.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I think that there are people, and if they're still even on the show, I know Sean's on the show. I know Robin's still on the show. I don't know about LaDuan, but there are people in there with good hearts.
He's talking about Sean Laws, who is in charge of all the house guests, and Robin Cass, who does all the casting for the show. Just so you guys know,
those are people who, regardless of what they have invested in the show, they also, I've never felt like that they're real people, and I think that they would sit her down and be like, Caitlin, we need to have a talk, you know? So.
Do you guys think it's at all possible that they actually went into the house, him knowing this? She's like, this is going to be strategy. I'm going to flirt with all the guys. Don't worry about it. But then he realized, once she got in there, it was too much for him.
I don't think that.
No.
Because it's like, well, I'm sure James can attest, you have this whole strategy before you go in. And then as soon as you get in there and you realize it, everyone's, I guarantee, flips 100%. So I don't know what her strategy was before going in, but I guarantee you it was not...
Rely on her visions.
Yeah, and she's so emotional. Like, she's all over the place. Yeah, I feel like she has never kept a consistent thought. So the fact that she's now flirting with this person or that person, I mean, she was in love with Fessy and now Tyler, and then, you know, so it's just, she's all up in Scotty's face, according to the live. They're like, oh my God, she's flirting with anyone who has power, so...
Right.
Well, there's a couple, you know, points that I have on that one, where... If it was strategy, I would expect her to be in the diary room, and this could be omitted by production, you know, because it makes a better story. She could be in there like, oh, this idiot Tyler thinks that we have something, you know, I'm using him. Because we've seen that all before when, you know, people have been using the opposite sex in there.
You did.
We see their diary rooms all the time where they're like essentially making fun of it, you know, but she's in the diary room talking about, oh my God, he said this. Not even my boyfriend says that.
Right.
She said she was obsessed with Tyler in more ways than one tonight.
Yeah. I don't think that's part of her strategy.
Yeah, I guess I take that back.
Man. Yeah, that's we could do multiple shows on.
Well, what about her saying that she had it, you know, that she the whole vision thing? Do you want to talk about what she did last night when she was
Oh, my God. Yeah. So she's asleep. And apparently Brett and Winston went into the HOH room to talk to Scotty to try to do a last Hail Mary to get them off of the block. And so they proposed to him that they should that Scotty should win. He won veto, but he should use the veto to get Brett off and then put up Caitlin to backdoor her. And Caitlin had this zing in the middle of her sleep. And she woke up and she went upstairs and was like, I just had a hit. Were they up here talking about me? And he's like, well, yes, they were. And she's like, I thought so. And the epiphany happened, and it was confirmed that Caitlin is psychic.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a broken clock is right twice, you know, twice a day. And it's one of those things where when you have a mind that's raging with that many paranoid delusions, eventually you're going to get one right. That would just be my opinion. But I don't think she's psychic, because otherwise – she would know what the hell's going on. And she'd also know about her boyfriend.
And she's not predicting that Tyler is saying he needs to get rid of her because she's bad for his game. Tyler's, like, already unsubscribed from the Caitlin Tyler rope, like, fake showman.
The bros don't... I'm sorry, bro.
No, let's go ahead.
And the bros don't like her. So when you're in that house, you know, as Morgan knows, you have nothing else to do but think. Mm-hmm. And if you do have those type, you know, those paranoid feelings, they're only going to be amplified. And you know how it is, man. When you, if you have anxiety, when you try to go to sleep, every little thing is magnified.
Oh,
the blister on your finger, all of a sudden you're thinking, man, I'm going to have to cut my arm off. So I'm assuming it's just kind of like just everything magnified, and she's just like panicking.
That's crazy. And I hate to wreck everyone's mind right now, but according to the live chats, they were saying that it was all produced. Like, it was production's cuts that made it look like that, that she was actually called up to the HOH room, like, hey, we have something to tell you.
No.
And she was like, oh, they were talking about me? So it wasn't as beautiful as it was cut together. So, yeah.
God, it made for great TV.
Yeah.
Jeez.
She's
clairvoyant.
I thought you were going to say, you were just breaking in to say the Sam won HOH. I heard that, or saw on Twitter that I think she just won.
Spoiler alert, everybody. We need like a spoiler alert.
Yeah. But James, to that, Sam did win HOH. It was between Sam and Tyler.
It's crazy.
I guess she said to Tyler, drop, like, you already had your HOH, and he stood there for a minute and then ended up jumping off.
That was smart.
Wow.
So smart.
I mean, yeah. Smart on Sam, but
neither one of them needed to win HOH.
Never smart to give up power.
Sam does not need to win HOH.
Yeah, but they have that power app, so neither one of them are going to go home. So Tyler might as well not make himself.
But Tyler has the app. I thought it was just Sam.
Tyler has an app, and so does Sam.
But Sam's app has to be used this week. So no matter who goes home, they will have a chance with this power to come back. So it's like, no matter what happens, like, this is honestly a waste of a week. Well, depending on the competition that they battle back in or whatever.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so James, Tyler seems to be a favorite for a lot of people. I want to know what you think. You've been pretty vocal about some other house guests in the house, but you haven't really said much about him. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are.
Tyler, I liked day one. Originally, during his intro, I was kind of like, typical. I saw, like, David Gurton from season whatever that was.
Yeah.
But then, like, literally, even in the first episode, I'm like, oh, I like this guy. He's not as stupid as everyone. He played that role that a lot of the blonde girls used to go into the house. I want to play the dumb bimbo. Mm-hmm. You know, he took on that little role, and I think he's going to be a really good player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing well playing both sides. I think I haven't seen that he has any enemies yet. I like him. I like this entire cast.
Yeah.
You know, Caitlin's nuts. Rockstar is kind of just abrasive.
A wild card. Cuckoo.
Yeah. Well, Charles, why don't you tell everybody what happened with Rockstar?
At the end?
After the vote.
After the vote. So Rockstar fell victim to one of Brett's wild plans, and I think it was a plan, I think it was a hoax, to just kind of stir up the house. So Brett basically said in his speech that Rockstar approached him before the vote and said that she was going to flip and blame it on Caitlin in order to get the attention on Caitlin. Right, essentially.
Right.
And so after the vote, when Brett was not evicted, Rockstar, in all her crazy witchcraft pagan fury, approached Brett and said, "How dare you on my daughter's birthday?" Which I don't know why. Is daughter's birthday like is that?
Why is it somebody's birthday? Can we please talk about this?
As if like her daughter's birthday is a valid reason not to play Big Brother that day. Like I don't understand why.
We all get a break on our daughter's birthday.
I just have to say a PSA. Can everybody please stop saying that they love their family members and wishing people happy birthday when they're in the diary room? That is no time to do that. You can do that on any time. There are cameras on you all the time.
There's live feeds.
And Julie is sitting there. Julie's standing there. She doesn't want to hear from you. She doesn't want to ask. All she wants is your vote.
And she wants you to tell her she's pretty.
Right. Yeah,
right. That's true. Tell her she's beautiful.
Right. You can always tell Julie she's beautiful. That's fine.
Even though you can't see her. Just assume she looks beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fun fact. I did not know this. You can't actually see.
No, it's just a little camera in front of you.
But like while they're in the living room, right? They can see her talking.
That's true. They can see
her outfit at least.
But you guys, the two of you that have been in the house, isn't that awkward when you're in the diary room or do you just totally forget about the camera? You're just staring and talking to a camera.
Clearly, Bryce is triggered. Yeah. By the way, I'd like to take this time.
Looking right at the camera now.
I'd like to say happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah, I love you, Mom and Dad. Thanks for watching.
You're going to get mad at me, but I did say happy birthday to my friend when I was in there. I'm so sorry. I just forgot.
God.
I will never do it again.
That wasn't even live either. You could have just said that anytime.
Yeah.
So
Rockstar was clearly angry, and it's going to be interesting like how she plays this next week, but I don't even know if she's going to have any play, right?
That moment was so real, though. That was like I guess this season, it's already had two great moments with the Rockstar one and the Swaggy C blindside. That's why I'm excited about this show again, because you have those real moments. You don't have a dickhead like Lil James running around ruining blindsides, you know? Ruining great television. It's like, it's real Big Brother again. And that stuff happens, you know, it's just more than one person that's involved. There's a lot of evil people in the house, and that's what, in my opinion, makes the show so great.
Do you think that it's kind of strategic by casting to cast people who aren't, like, so well-versed, brilliant Big Brother minds? Like, Sam, I think, mentioned that she wasn't, like,
a huge Big Brother mind.
Sam, I think, is really authentic. I mean, you talked about the Rockstar moment. Like, I think that that does make for great TV because people are just going in doing what they can and not really
I think every season there's a strategic amount of super fans versus people who are clueless. So, like, there is that mix.
Uh-huh.
I think everyone should be forced against their will to at least watch a season. I thought that was a rule.
Yeah.
I was told that I was forced to watch this, but apparently not, because it seems like I don't think Sam has ever seen
it. But wouldn't it be
season.
Cool to like get a bunch of people who have never seen Big Brother playing Big Brother? What would happen?
But there's like no strategy.
But it's kind
but
of
I heard,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, last week we had James on, his girlfriend said that the celebrities, when they were in sequester, they could only watch Big Brother. Like, they couldn't watch any other TV but Big Brother. They're like, you're going to watch it today.
That sounds awful.
This is going to happen. I don't know. I'm over Sam not knowing the game and that being her tactic. Like, I don't know what's happening. You just tell me how to vote. And I'm over her power app and her mentioning it so many times. I'm happy that it dies this upcoming week.
Well,
if you've ever been in that house and you haven't had power, to have it is a good feeling. I tell everybody. I'd be like, you're going to take the last cookie? I have the power app.
Well, James, speaking of Sam and her power app. If you were Sam, would you have used it this week, or do you think it was smart for her to save it for the next week?
Well, here's the deal. As much as the bros and their bromance make kind of good television, it's too early and you have too many people going against you if you were to save those guys. There's not enough people in the house who could join with you to say, oh, this was worth it.
Right.
You know, because half the house doesn't like those guys. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I just didn't think it would have been worth it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like last week, saving Swaggy wouldn't have been worth it. You had too many people in the house that worked to get that, you know, the blind side done. So therefore, it's just later in the season, I think these things are probably of greater value to the game. Mm-hmm. Now they're just to create, you know, shit to talk about when there aren't real alliances or true alliances yet. It's, you know, 2 weeks in, I probably had like 15 alliances my first 2 weeks, you know? So it's like week 3 and 4 when it gets really personal, when people start digging in, and that's when those type, you know, apps or twists or whatever really mean something, because there's a lot more at stake. Now you start to get hungry. Like, you see Sequester and you can see, you know, a couple weeks ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Question for you, James. Just the fact that it's been so many seasons since you have played, and how much it's things
like a nice way.
You're an OG. How about that? So much has changed in the game, especially when it comes to expect the unexpected, all these twists and turns that were not there during your season. Would you rather have played when you did, or would you like to try out this new way of Big Brother?
See, it's different. I was, man, it was going to be a little bit longer probably than you thought. So, season six, I was 29 years old. I was, like, working as an actor and a model. I didn't have anything invested in like a career or things like that. Now at this day, I would never go back in the house because of the ferociousness of the internet and all the trolls and stuff on there. It's not worth it for me to leave a really good job with a great salary to go in there and potentially not have that job or have to deal with, you know, just the bullshit after the fact. It wouldn't be worth it to me. Mm-hmm. Would I have liked some sort of diamond power veto when I was, you know, back in season six, or some other little like Pandora's box for production to just drop on my lap when they needed someone saved? Mm-hmm. Sure, I would have loved that shit, but it wasn't part of the game back then. And I liked having to just rely on manipulation, your alliances, and, you know, some good luck, basically, to get through the season. I think it makes better television. I don't like seeing Outback Steakhouse sponsor a veto comp.
You didn't like the Mamma Mia veto comp?
Yeah, the integration.
It looks really cheesy, and it kind of degrades the season away. But once again, I'm used to what I like to call a more pure form of Big Brother, where there was less – you got manipulated in the diary room, but there was less manipulation like overall.
With Americans' involvement, America's involvement in their vote and all that kind of stuff.
Everyone says, you know, America's vote, but that's not America's vote. It's the producers getting together and they're like, all right, which way, who votes for this? You know, they don't ever provide tallies or numbers or anything. I'm convinced that it's literally what they think is best for the game. But it's their show. Let them run it.
Wait, James, are you suggesting that production pick me to win?
I didn't watch your season.
backtrack.
It's fine. I'm not complaining either way because I got the check. So thanks, Allison.
Right. The check cleared.
I do a Evil Dick show all the time, and he always talks about certain people being the worst winners, you know, or shitty winners or whatever. I'm like, the check's still cashed. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You know, you can hate this person or that person, but if they won the show, they got $500,000.
They did their job by winning.
Congrats. Kudos to you.
Yeah, all right, good job. But yeah, it'd be interesting to go in there now as like a 42-year-old who has a corporate/nightlife gig as opposed to someone who could just, you know, spend all day in the gym not doing shit. So it'd be nice to get away from work for 3 months, just wouldn't be worth it. They'd have to give me $75,000-$100,000 just to walk in the house.
Well, you know, James, so a lot of the fans tweeted, and so they all really wanted to know, who would you align with, say you were back in the game this season,
in that house? Every fucking person. I would have alliances with every single person in there.
Even Caitlin?
Of course.
Especially
every
her.
Every single person in there. The thing is, someone like Caitlin would be the easiest to manipulate. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine just like having fun with her, waking up in the middle of the night, taking her outside, and just telling her how it came to you in a dream and you had to like just make up some crazy shit to her, you know? She would be someone that would be fun to torment in the house. And when you're in there, as much as that may seem just like a horrible thing to do in the outside world, when you signed up for Big Brother, you understand that there's no rules and you just can't physically harm someone. So if you want to manipulate someone or hurt their feelings or play with their emotions or try to ruin them, then that is part of the game. And I think people have to understand that. So if you sign up for that, that's your ass.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Caitlin would be so much fun. I mean, you could literally get people to all pretend like they had the same dream. Just come up to her randomly and like actually drive her fucking nuts. Imagine telling her that the producers told you in the diary room, they let it slip that her boyfriend broke up with her. Even if it wasn't true.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could ruin her entire game. Mm-hmm. You would set her off.
Well, but Tyler has been saying she's such a liability. Like, don't you think that it's a double-edged sword? Because Caitlin can go so off the handle. Like, she can get on some emotional rampage and expose your entire game. Like, don't you think that as much as she could be.
Someone you wouldn't share your entire game with because she is a crackhead.
Yeah, that's why it was stupid for Sam to tell her that she had her power in the first place. But I actually, to your point, I think that Brett should be doing that. Obviously, I saw tonight a completely different side of him. I was like, he is a liar. He is a stone
cold.
But I love it. Yeah, I want him to stay longer.
I want him to do what you're saying. I want him to manipulate these people. I mean, it was so clear as day. He made her Rockstar go so crazy in her own head that I could see her thinking like, did I actually say that? Like, she didn't know.
But he's the worst type. I mean, to be so stone cold as someone is going off on you, and he's like, I'm not. And that makes you even more mad. You want to yell even louder. He is so good.
I'm a fan now.
It's
Big Brother. Telling you, I get like chills talking about this because literally that's what, in my opinion, I want to see. You want that type of, like, Dr. Will was merciless. Like, when he looked at you in the eyes, you saw nothing there. There was no soul, you know? Like, he had that type where he knew this was a game, and he gave two shits about you because that was part of his strategy.
Yeah.
And that's what made him so good. I'm not comparing Brett to Dr. Will by any means. So.
Right. Not Black, that miss.
Black's internet. That but it's one of those things where I love that those type players that – like Vanessa, I thought was such a great player, but she had that blood in her hands crying all the time that took it away from me. You know, I like the villains that will just own it.
Yeah. God, I'd love Vanessa. Yeah. I wish she would come strong on our show. Vanessa, come on.
She's great.
No, I know. And it was so funny because I literally wrote down in my notes, I was like, I feel like I'm still watching summer camp. I said this last night to myself, obviously, alone, but I was so happy to see this episode because I was like, because I hated last season, but there was real, true animosity there.
Yeah.
And I was like, where is that this season? And I saw it tonight, so I'm totally invigorated.
Yeah. It's coming.
It's incandescent.
It's hard. I mean, when the house splits from the beginning, it's so hard to see that drama until someone has to turn on your own alliance. Mm-hmm. So for the first time, the level six had to turn on each other. And I just find it so odd that, what is this, Alliance Fondue?
Fondue!
Fonte. Every single week they are blindsided. Like, they look so foolish.
I know.
Every week. And then it's so sad. And then they don't win. And then,
okay, well, but I asked this question before. Actually, while we were watching the episode, I thought to myself, why are they choosing to keep Brett? Because I think he is problematic. And I think that he is a target. He's going to be the target for Fondue. I'm going to call them Fondue, not Fauté.
Yeah, let's call them Fondue.
I think they're all going to go after him.
But
and
he's
then,
a meat shield.
Well, but then I feel like a meat shield is played later in the game. Like, at this point now, level 6 is only going to have 4 if Brett leaves, and then it's going to be the entire house against the level 4, and then it's going to be level 3, 2, 1, and then they're going to be gone.
Yeah, but my thing is, like, better have at least one person that's going to go up before you, because, like, I'm thinking, like, how Tyler's thinking. He's like, well, if Brett's here, he's going to cause the problem. I'm going to put all these thoughts in his head to, like, piss people off. And, like, he'll be go before me, whereas I think if Brett went, like, they're going to keep Winston till the end. Winston is clueless.
Yeah,
like,
and Winston's clueless, and he doesn't win any. He's not a competitor. He's like a mat.
Oh, my God. I just got flashbacks.
That's
who
he is. He's Matt. He's Matt from
19. Oh, I thought you meant a mat like a doormat.
he's also a doormat. But
either or, they're the same thing.
They're the same thing. Well, I take the joke.
I thought that, like, because Brett was so problematic, then if Fauté gets the power, if Sam is influenced by Fauté or whatever, she would put
Fondue.
Yeah. She would put up Brett and then another member of the level 6 alliance as to not get more blood on her hands, so that like guarantees somebody from level 6 going home. And then if Brett gets the battle back thing, then he's back in the house even longer, and then somebody else from it. I just don't see it working out.
James, what do you think? Yeah. What's your input on this?
By keeping someone like Brett, you obviously, I think it's a smarter move because you don't ever, and this Danielle from season 3 used to always say this, never give the HOH what they want, you know? Now you have half the house flipped to like, what the hell happened here? So you know that there's, you know, the treachery going on back there. You have Rockstar who's lost her shit. You have this target that half the house was like, oh, Brett's gone, you know? And now they have to not only deal with the fact that Brett's still there, who's a very vocal person, has no problems getting in people's faces, who some people are scared of him. Mm-hmm. And now you have to figure out not only how to get rid of Brett, but who those people were that just betrayed you. So it keeps, you know, everything just in this constant state of spin. And that's one of the reasons why if I had been in that house, I would have definitely kept Brett.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. That's why I would lose Big Brother.
Well, I, James,
it's another target on your back. It's one of the reasons in season 6 why I wanted to keep Janelle along. She was the only person who was on like a level of competition with me in veto. She was always like a few seconds behind me. Yeah. But she was also a huge target. Like, the nerd herd hated her as much as they hated me. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I didn't have a problem going to her at the end because I felt like I could beat her, but if I lost to her, I wouldn't give a damn because I would have deserved to lose to her. But it would have drove everyone else nuts the entire time. And that's part of the only fun you can have in Big Brother is making everybody else's lives more miserable than yours. Because it is a miserable experience in there for the most part.
It's sadomasochism. It's like, that's what you're doing, basically.
Yeah, so you want to make sure everyone is more miserable than you. Throws them off their game.
Well, James, I want to talk to you about Swaggy C, but first I do have a question. Do you think that Swaggy C has Swaggy C underwear?
Oh my gosh. 100%. Probably, yeah. But let me tell you about Me Undies. Guys, I want to take a minute to talk about underwear. That's not Swaggy C underwear, but Me Undies. Everyone needs it. New is better than old, and they have to be comfortable, so you should get some, and I'm about to tell you why, because you get a discount.
Every week we make Martin do this.
Every week.
Because it's the best.
I talk about underwear.
It's the best.
This is a no risk.
Well, you
need
to tell them
offer.
At the end of this that you've had a revelation about them. Sorry.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about... Okay, anyway.
I need to send you a hit.
This is a no-risk offer. If you're happy, they'll refund the cost, and you get to keep them. And because you're listening to me, Morgan Lee Willett, you will get a 15% off discount on your first pair and free shipping. So go to MeUndies.com/buzz. I repeat, that is MeUndies.com/buzz. Yeah, so get a discount. I had this revelation today. I looked at my underwear, and I was wearing Me Undies, and I kid you not,
oh my God,
they're very comfortable.
You know, by the end of this season, I'm going to buy some Me Undies, because, the curiosity is just killing me.
Underwear
Me.
Yeah.
And that's all we're going to wear for the finale, just Me Undies.
Yeah, fantastically comfortable.
I wonder if they have other things, too.
I'll be waiting for my gift bag.
Yes, we'll send you a consolation prize. All right, James. So I know that you said it on Twitter. You really liked Swaggy C, but I do want to know, as we kind of talked about before. But do you think he played too hard, too fast? Only because, I mean, he did, number one, but also but he just always seemed so clueless. If he kept saying he was running the house, why was he so blindsided all the time?
I mean, when you get into the DR and if you have that type of, you know, that persona that he has, the producers probably egged him on. He's never been in a situation like that. I guarantee you he went in there and the producers were like, man, you're running shit, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, I'm running shit. You know, Swaggy C, this and that, da-da-da-da-da. And they made him look like a fool. I love the fact that he came out so hard. I thought it was stupid that he wins those two comps in the beginning and then he doesn't have HOH.
Yeah.
That was kind of dumb, but, I mean, that's just the way the show went. I liked him. I thought it was good television. He played basketball, so I got to like him for that. You know, it sucks he went home early, but when you feel that Josiah and who are some of the other guys? Brian on season 10, Josiah on season whatever. Like, literally, when you come in there and you think you're running shit, you're gone.
Yeah.
I said this today. The moment you feel comfortable, like watching Winston sitting next to Julie, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When you think you can relax, one of my memories from season 6, sorry to go back, that seared into my brain was when we were walking out of the backyard into the kitchen area to do the key ceremony or the nomination ceremony. I looked at Maggie, and Maggie's like, boy, you got a smile on your face. And I'm like, it's the first time I feel safe. Because, you know, I'd been nominated every fucking week. And I looked at her, and I'm like, yeah, it's the first week I finally feel safe. Because in my heart, I knew that Maggie was getting nominated by Howie. And then I'm sitting there, and those keys come out. And I was like, I will never, ever, ever feel safe in this house. And it's one of those moments, like, from the show that's, like, seared in my memory. Remember everything, even the temperature. Because it was like,
Dang. Fuck.
You know? Yeah.
Was it hard?
I think Maggie is one of the most underrated winners because people forget about her, but she was a damn mastermind. She took, you know, a group of like misfits, put them together, you know, she convinced someone to nominate his alliance the week before sequester and just give the numbers to the other side. Maggie played a phenomenal game. I think that if someone wants to go in and low key run the Big Brother house, watch season 6, watch how Maggie did it. watch Andy from season 15. These are people that, you know, mm-hmm. underrated, that were low key, that did one hell of a job collecting the check. Sorry for the flashbacks there, but
I like a good flashback.
I'm wondering, do you think, I'm wondering what a season like season six would look like now with people with coming into the house with partners, or people that just like you guys did.
Mm-hmm. It's somebody brought this up the other day. Have all you guys seen season six?
Yes, I have.
All right, question for you. How long would Howie have lasted on the show if he had the same type of behavior?
Oh.
You know, you have to think with all the craziness, like all his comments about movies and this and that and stories and things. Literally, he would have been Me Too'd out of the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, it's weird how back in the genesis of social media, when there was barely YouTube and MySpace, right, and now where there's platforms for everything and new apps coming out daily, how, you know, our attitudes have shifted. You know, he would not have been liked and loved like the way he was. There would have been a lot of shit. You know, there would probably have been things that all of us said or did that now, once retweeted 1,000 times, mm-hmm. completely changed, you know, your after show experience.
Yeah.
So I think this season is pretty close to season six. I mean, you don't have the partners, but you do have people that are in there to play the game.
Yeah.
Well, and I loved the Power app integration into this season. I thought that was so awesome how the most trending house guest, I mean, it's over now, but the most trending house guest got rewarded, because it was kind of this twisted way for the house guests to do something buzzworthy or crazy or stupid, because that is such a huge part of the game now, is the audience dialogue, like on Twitter and on social media, that it's like part of the show. Like, mm-hmm. whenever you're watching Big Brother, you're also watching your phone screen to see what everybody else is saying about the show. So the way they integrated that, I thought was awesome.
That's such a great point.
Except if you're Brett and then you have an epic fail because you thought a stupid mustache was going to make you trend. Yeah. But hey.
He tried. Well, let's go.
Well, if you have no personality, I mean, you go with what you got.
Yeah, true.
Let's quickly talk about Tyler was on the other CBS competition show, TKO, and a lot of fans were up in arms about that. Morgan, why don't
you
tell
them? I'm going to give you all the scoop, and then James, I want your input because I saw that eye roll. So you know I'm about to ask you about it. Okay, so let me brief it real quick.
Cross promotion.
So Total Knockout, Tyler's episode aired yesterday. He got 3rd out of 5, took home 2.5K. So basically, this filmed over 5 days mid-May. The house guest entered June 20th. So Tyler did not know he was going in the house at this time, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't really think it's a good thing. I don't think you can blame Tyler, because what's he going to say? No CBS, let me ruin my chances of getting on Big Brother. So I don't blame that. I think CBS needs to stay out of it. But, so Twitter's going crazy about it, so I'm going to, here's kind of what the gist of what people are saying. Twitter is crazy. This person actually has me blocked on Twitter, and I don't know why, but I still found your tweet. At BB Team North.
Call them out.
I think they blocked me. Actually, I'm going to go check. I think they did.
Fake news, guys.
All right, so he said, Tyler being on TKO is... What is S-U-S?
Sus?
Sus as hell? I don't know.
Like suspect?
Suspect is what the kids were saying now. Come on, Morgan.
Oh, my God. I'm so not a millennial.
It's like when you got woke earlier.
What? Or shook. Whatever. They said for him to be playing like he is narrating the season and participating on another CBS show as a rookie, that does not sit right with my spirit. My bullshit alarm is going off, and my feelings about the season just shifted drastically.
Well,
and then another girl said, now that we know Tyler's on TKO, he just doesn't seem like a real house guest anymore. How do we know he isn't just production's puppet who does whatever they tell him to do? It would explain why he's so uncompromising and unyielding with all his decisions. But then I have a counterpoint, because Cheryl Grace from OKC said, Paul was on short-lived Candy Crush before BB19, so I don't see what the big deal is about Tyler being on TKO before.
However, the only difference there is that Paul had already been on a season.
Right, so...
Yeah.
He was like a celebrity at that point.
I'm just bringing counterpoints. Mm-hmm. Right, but then, so, I didn't know this till I was creeping on Twitter, so I guess I missed this on the live feed. Swaggy was told he was not allowed to go on TKO because he was on Big Brother. Are you still not convinced Tyler is CBS's favorite?
According to who?
I don't know if that was said on the live feeds, if that's something he said, but that is what the Twitter speculation was. which in that case, that makes me just a bit suspect.
Yeah. Has Tyler talked about the fact
that
sus, you guys. You can't include the second syllable, Morgan. Right. We're cool.
Can't. Okay.
We're cool kids.
Has Tyler talked about him being on TKO?
He did. He told the house guest. Oh, okay. So he's not revealed his power, but he has revealed he is on
that
TKO.
That he's CBS's puppet. He's like,
James,
by the way, guys.
What do you think?
For those of you that have been in casting, you know that they could have cast Tyler on TKO back in whatever it was, May, and realized, fuck, this dude is perfect for Big Brother. It's not like you have to make a lot of preps for leaving a job as a lifeguard. You know what I mean? It could have happened in that order, and then maybe Swaggy was in stages of casting, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, I want to apply for this show, and you're like, well, you can't.
That's an excellent point, actually. So,
whatever.
That's
so
good.
It's,
yeah, I get that.
Worrying about on the internet.
Yeah. And at this point, I mean, honestly, like, who cares? And I say that meaning America doesn't have any power anymore.
Right.
The
right.
trending is gone. I mean, they can have their opinions on Twitter, but he's doing well. Yeah. And I think that's why the attention is brought to it. If he was sucking or if he was like Rockstar or someone, they wouldn't care.
That's a good point.
Right. But also, let's note, Tyler didn't get first on TKO. It's not like CBS rewarded him with first place. In that case, they'd be like, this is weird.
Yeah.
He got third. Jinx, he got beat out by a bunch of other people. So it's like, I don't know. I truly don't. There is some outrage, but I don't think it's worth all the outrage.
I don't think there's anything to it, to be honest, at all.
But,
I think people on Twitter are thirsty for a conspiracy and thirsty for a moment.
Yes.
And
want
to be the truth teller. And I don't think there's anything to it.
Okay.
They're just mad Tyler's playing a better game than they would have.
So what is, Charles, what is our special segment?
Our special segment of the week is Faux Alliances. And you can probably understand what this special segment is based on what the word is. Faux, meaning fake. I don't know what language it is, but it means fake.
In case you're not a millennial.
In case you're not a millennial.
I don't know, is it Latin?
And then,
French.
Is it French or Latin?
I don't know. I don't even know
faux
what it says.
Faux pas.
I don't know either. But and then alliances,
someone
of course, being a very familiar term with Big Brother. So if you combine the two, you're left with a fake alliance or a not verified alliance or whatever. So basically, we're going to make some predictions on which alliance, showmance, I would say bromance, but RIP, is not going to last in this Big Brother house. So is Faute going to dissolve? Is level 6, 5 going to dissolve? What's going to happen with the showmances? Is Tyler going to split from Caitlyn? Is what's going to happen?
Let's start with James.
Is Fessy and Haley going to... What's going to happen with Fessy and Haley? Like, faux alliances, James. What's your call?
Man, this is... Because I don't watch the live feeds, I don't feel like I can give that... The most educated opinion on this. Mm. I think all alliances are fake, you know, in my own book. Because they technically are. Yeah. No one in there owes anyone else $500,000 and you shouldn't be willing to give it up.
You need some time to think about it. I'll go first. Do you want to come back to you, James?
Yes.
Okay. I will say that my I will say that my faux alliance is level 6. Now, y'all might disagree with me, but I honestly think that their alliance is going to dissolve because too many eyes are on them. It just feels like the entire house is rallying around them to pick them off one by one. So I think level 6, your time is about up, which I didn't think was going to happen at the beginning of the season. I thought they were a strong alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that because now that Sam is in power, it's going to be Sam, Casey, Tyler. She trusted the two of them and said that she would save them with her power. And I think they're going to pull in maybe Caitlyn because she's all over the place and maybe one other person. But I agree. Level 6.
I've been wrong before, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I'm torn. I think the lines have been so crossed, like there's two sides. I don't see those fizzling just yet because I think it's so early in the game. So I would say, I mean, my number one that I think we're going to see implode first is Tyler and Caitlyn.
Okay.
Whatever
their
little alliance is, I see that exploding probably this week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Tyler's getting in some
he's
deep
too,
water
too
with
close
all of
to
his
drama.
Lies. I think he should have owned voting the way he did. I think
agree.
That would have saved him with Caitlyn. Because I think he's going to get caught in it. So I think that's going to implode this week. That's my prediction.
Okay, I think Faute. Why are they still talking to Caitlyn in the first place? She just
She
just voted out their alliance member last week.
And she was the flip
yes,
the first week.
Yeah, and she flopped the
and
other time.
She's told them that.
Come on. All right, James.
All right, so I'm going to stick behind my original opinion that there are no strong alliances, especially with that many people this early in the game. If... There's just too many other factors. There's too many different things that can happen. I don't really consider any of them. Now, those two people, Tyler, I think, will hang on to Caitlin as long as he can, but I don't see him, like, he could get two shits if he has to let her go.
Yeah,
right.
Man, I don't know. And then maybe it's because I didn't care about, or I lied to all my alliances. I didn't really see them as that strong because there's nothing really at stake. There's still too many people in the house.
Yeah. You can say the bromance isn't going to last because you'd be right.
Let's go with that.
So, all
right.
Probably has a pretty strong alliance with all their personalities, but other than that, you know, people will betray each other.
Yeah.
So, Twitter, you guys acted like we said. Vote for your favorite and least favorite house guests, and you guys replied. So, just real quick, shout out to Chad X Likens, who said his favorite was Sam. Worst was Caitlin. Maves Fan 777 loves Tyler, hates Rockstar. Okay, maybe not hate, but Nick or Walsh Fessy doesn't like Casey, and then That's Me loves Tyler and doesn't like Rockstar. So the vote is: people like Tyler, people don't like Rockstar.
Nice. So thank you guys. Keep voting. Okay, really, really fast. We're going to do that. I have one more question for you guys. This is the Chen Chatter. This is our panel's favorite segment. Chen Chatter is where we discuss things Julie Chen has said in interviews.
We love you, Julie.
With her take on Big Brother and the gameplay, Julie was on Variety Magazine's podcast, Remote Controlled, and was asked about BB casting. And she said, every now and then we'll get someone, a raw, fresh talent, but at the end of the day, whether they know the show or they don't, everyone who's been a house guest says it is not what they imagined. You never know what's going to transpire. So I have to ask the two people on here really quickly, Is it what you imagine? And if not, what did you imagine?
Oh my God, I'm going to start. No, it was nothing like I imagined. I did not think I was going to be stressed out. I did not think I was going to be invested. I did not think I was going to cry that much. I did not feel like my sister was going to be dead when she got evicted. Like, I just didn't think. You don't realize when you're locked away how invested you get. Like I said, I wasn't a super fan. I just thought this was an amazing experience. I was so honored to be there. I did not expect to get that invested. So I definitely think it's nothing that you expect.
And now look at you, hooked.
Yeah.
And now
James,
here I am.
James, what about you?
Same thing. I was cast off MySpace. I had never seen the show. They sent me a message. Literally, that's how, you know, it was brought into my world.
Hallelujah.
I had no idea. They tried to tell me, they're like, oh, you got to watch season two. Literally, they had me looking for it at Blockbuster Videos and trying to find it on VHS. That's how long ago this was.
Yeah.
Wow. So I had no idea what to expect.
Redbox.
And they gave me the VHS tapes to watch it, season five in Sequester. I kind of like fast forwarded through a lot of the stuff. I just wanted to see the competitions in the diary rooms. I didn't pay attention to all like the subplots because to me that wasn't important because I thought that was just made for TV shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had no idea what to expect. But it, like Morgan said, it's one of those things where everything is accelerated in there. All relationships are accelerated. A day feels like a week. You know, a week feels like a month. And, you know, your entire time in there feels like eternity.
Yeah.
You don't know what to expect.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Well, James, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate all your commentary and everything.
Thank you, James.
Good insight.
That is it for us, guys. Follow along throughout the week with Twitter, where we are monitoring your favorite and least favorite house guest tracker using BuzzBB20. We will see you back here on Thursday with a very special guest. Morgan, tell them who we booked.
Ooh, guys, so we are having the man himself. Get your T-shirts ready, because we are having Swaggy C. Skype in. So he's going to give us his scoop. What's the deal with Swaley? I'm going to wear a Morgan W. shirt.
All right. Thank you, James Ryan, for sharing your thoughts. Follow along with him all season long on Instagram and Twitter at James Ryan. From outside the Big Brother house and inside AfterBuzz Studios, I am Bryce McClay. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Advice.
And I am Morgan Willett. You can follow me on Twitter at Morgan_Willett or Instagram at Morgan Lee Willett.
Yes, and I'm Jessica Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at Miss Jessica WW and on Instagram at Miss Jessica Williams.
And I'm Charles Connolly. You can find me at Charles Connolly.
There it is.
Bye, guys. We'll see you next week.
See y'all.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.